I mean, just you go. Okay.
I have problems.
Okay.
Operator, can you please just confirm that the call started?
This call is now being recorded.
Thank you. I'll just quickly do the roll call. Today we have on the call Ray Fassett, Rolf Knorben, Ron Andruff, Tony Holmes, and we have from staff Julie Headland and myself, Gisela Gruber-White.
Okay. Thank you, Gisela.
Yeah.
And also, I want to thank Julie for joining us again in her support role to our work team. And sent around a brief agenda item, three items. Once again, try to keep the call to an hour because I know we all have other things going on. And I think we can, if we take this approach, then I think we're more productive during that hour. So let's start with, there's been some recent board activity as it pertains to the GNSO restructuring process and a resolution that passed. And I'm just curious in Julie's mind, in her support role to us, what she thinks, what impact that has on our work team. If you can, Julie.
Yeah, sorry, I was on mute and didn't realize it. Thank you, Ray. Then referring to the message that I sent around to the team, I would say probably the most important aspect of resolution coming out of the board meeting and that Denise Michelle noted is that the restructuring schedule has slipped past Sydney. And as many of you know from the original plans, that the plans were that the council, the new council, would be seated in Sydney. And with the extended transition time period, that is, that with this restructuring schedule having slipped, it's now much more likely that we would be looking at the new council seated subsequent, at some point after Sydney. And so the first thing I thought of for this team, and Ray, certainly think that your ideas on this would be most important, but one of the tasks of this team is to revise the GNSO Council's rules and procedures as part of looking at the overall role of the Council, and the high-level operating principles are a piece of this, but there's also the more mundane sort of nuts and bolts of how the GNSO Council does its job, and that is what is in the rules and procedures, some of which are affected by changes in the bylaws that the GNSO Council restructuring team is currently working on. Some, though, are more straightforward and may not even change from what is in the current rules and procedures. Given this extended transition time period, it certainly does give this team more time to address the rules and procedures, and plan the attack, so to speak, prior to when the new council will be seated.
Yeah, thanks, Julie. So, I think the biggest impact on us is they were originally planning on seating this new bicameral approach for the council in Sydney, and it's now been pushed back, and they're now estimating October. And I would probably look at that as a hard date. I think there is an expectation level, sort of a reprieve right now, all for good reason, but I'm not sure there's going to be another one. So, to Ron's point earlier, we have a lot of work to do, and these are important issues, and if we had more people involved, that'd be great, but we don't, and this is what we have. And I have also been brought to my attention from OSC that, we're doing okay, but, we really need to focus on that rules of procedure document. That has been brought to my attention. So we kind of need to make progress on that. Now, my answer to that was twofold. One, I thought, in my own view, that the document is, how we got started off with Ron doing the work that he did. It really does dovetail into the rules of procedure document on the one hand. Then on the other hand, we were sort of advised that there are some bylaws changes going on at the board level with ICANN. And let's not spin our wheels on some of these rules of procedure areas until things can be more clear for us. So what we did is we moved off on this document Ron prepared originally. We've been modifying. We've now floated it out there. We've gotten some feedback, which I think was constructive. But I do want to stress to those on the call here today, we have to begin looking very hard at the rules of procedure document. And I will send a link around to that document after our call. We're not going to get into it today. I just want to stress that we need to really look at it and modify it. And we're probably going to draw on Julie to do a lot of our crafting for us and where we know a direction is heading and where we can make those changes in the current rules of procedure document. And just as a refresher, the current rules of procedure document of the GNSO, much of it has been borrowed from the old DNSO. So it's really ripe that this document needs to be looked at, and it's on our plate. So with that said, that's why I inferred that we might want to have a call next Wednesday based on how we progress today.
Okay.
So with that said, let's move into the next item on the agenda, which I think we should spend some time on. Any questions? Anybody have any comments?
Yes, it's Ray. Wolf speaking.
Yes, so, please.
Just a comment of, let me say, with regard to my feeling I have with regard to the working team's work that's going on. So as I'm also a member of the PPSC working team for the policy process, So, and I was looking also to the minutes of other teams. So I've got the feeling so that teams were expecting, let me say, an extension of the term until at least at Seoul, to that. So this decision was expected more or less.
Mm-hmm.
So and that means that I got the feeling that some of the teams right now they relaxed a little bit, let me say that in this way, rather than to get more deeply and more focusing on what they have to do. So I really welcome if we do our work as we started. Well, really, to follow on and not to relax.
Right.
Really do. I would welcome that.
Right, and I think that's a great comment. And another thing is, with our work team, is we don't necessarily have that luxury either, because we have some things that are more near term that need to be completed well before Seoul. And like I said, what was brought to my attention was the rules and procedures document. That's a deliverable that is really being counted on our work team well before. We don't have that October deadline. Other work teams may have, September. We don't.
Yeah.
And so you're exactly right in your approach. We have to work with a little bit more sense of urgency within the ability and time that we have to do so. So you're right. Well, we can't take a relaxing approach. And I don't think we have up to now. I think we've done pretty well. I think I think Ron's done real well getting us going.
Yeah.
So with that said, I think we should, unless anybody else has any comments, let's go ahead and move. Let's try and knock one out here, which has to do with the SOI-DOI document that has been circulated. And I don't think what we want to do is come today to agreement that this document is fine as is and we're done, sign off on it. But I think what we can knock out is just the definition area that is contained in the document. What is a relevant party, what is a statement of interest, and what is a disclosure of interest.
Yes.
If we can get to a common ground as a work team that we're comfortable with those, then let's work on the more substance of it, the purpose and et cetera, the status and all those other things. But I think as a starting point, we could at least get there as a team as to whether we're comfortable with what these definitions are. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just throw that up for comment. Everybody's had a chance to review the definitions contained in the document. What is a relevant party? What is a statement of interest? What is disclosure of interest? Any comments on those definitions?
If I may, Wolf?
Yes, please, Wolf.
Well, I saw that the work Ron has done, so it's really comprehensive. So he put some additional ideas in the existing document. And nevertheless, I have maybe some question at first to that. Maybe I misunderstood something. So the question regarding the definition of relevant party as well. It seems to me that the relevant party is right now not only focusing on the GNSO Policy Council, rather than to the additional working teams joined to the GNSO Policy Council, which I would accept. But then there's a sentence which means similar rules apply to all those who speak in public forums, etc., etc. And this opens the door to, it seems to me, it opens the door to, let me say, to any individual which could be behind of that meaning, if that is the case. So I would question that. So that's my first comment on that.
May I respond to that, Wolf, or do you want to package
it? Just in context with the next paragraph, the statement of interest.
Go ahead.
Because you say a statement made by relevant parties involved in policy development or other relevant policies. That means that it's more, it seems to be more narrow than the former paragraph, which refers to all who speak in public forum and so on. Yeah. So how does it fit together? So I would say, okay, the second one is parties who are involved in policy development processes or relevant processes. This is okay, but how does it fit together with the other one, the first paragraph? That's my question.
This is Ron speaking.
Yes.
The idea, the sentence that begins, similar rules apply to all those who speak in public forums or submit written comments as part of the public participation, public comment processes, since these may influence views or opinions of a work team member, working group, or policy counselor.
Huh?
That sentence was added as an afterthought. But the reason it was added was because if we're going to address this comprehensively, statements of interest and declarations of interest, we need to make sure that it doesn't just address part of the community and then another part of the community doesn't have to. When people step up to the microphone, it's been traditional that, and I know for myself, I've stepped up many times in the public forum and said, my name is Ron Andruff, RNA Partners, I'm a member of the business constituency, but today I'm speaking on my own behalf. Or I'm speaking on behalf of the constituency. More rare, but the fact is, it's a declaration of who I am, where I come from, and what I'm speaking to. So the principle here, and again, it was an afterthought, so the language can certainly be cleaned up, but the principle that we're trying to establish is simply to say that whenever anyone speaks, individual, company, staff member, board member, whoever it might be, they speak or they submit written comments to any issue, there's no reason in the world they shouldn't declare their interest in that issue. Meaning, if I have no error, I could say I'm Ron Andruff, RNA Partners, member of the business constituency, and I have no, I declare I have no interest in this topic, neither covering the statement of interest and disclosure of interest, I have no interest in this other than these comments, and I can make that statement. So the logic is to try to become very transparent and very clear, whoever is speaking, whoever is commenting on any topic, so that the reader, whomever they may be, understands in which context the statement or activity is being undertaken.
Okay, so I understand this. So it's not. So I was under thinking we are talking about written statement of interest. So that I understand you that you also referring to verbal statement of interest, which are going to be given during the forum.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the case?
Or written, you know, that, how many, you know, we are often, not often, it's part of our part of our processes within ICANN that we're always submitting written statements. So the written statements should declare who we are and what we're doing as much as the verbal ones.
I was wrong. So because I was thinking, you would like to have somebody who stands up and would like to speak in advance, he should provide a written statement of interest. That was my opinion.
No, I can understand how you got there. That's why I say as an afterthought, as you explain it, I can appreciate the reason you had paused. But that's something that perhaps Julie can work with in terms of cleaning up the language. We might just pull it out of the definition, but include it somewhere later. But the point being is, it's important that that statements of interest and declarations of interest disclosures of interest are always made. It's just a question of how they do it in a public forum environment.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's a good train of thought. It could even read something like, ICANN encourages all those who speak in public forums or submit written comments, provide their declaration or provide their what their interest is. So just sort of an encouragement, because again we get to that enforcement issue, and I don't know how you go about encouraging it. It could be the whoever is at the podium for the public comment period, the chairman or whoever, just reminding everybody before they get to the microphone, if you're saying something like, if you have an interest, please identify that.
Actually, Ray, I think you're onto something there in the sense that we could find a place, because at some point we explained this further on, that the chair, the process itself,
mm-hmm.
Julie, maybe you might find that more quickly than me, but it's where we describe that the chair of any body that gathers will ask, there's 4.2, the GNSO policy chair, vice chair, working group, blah, 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 and chairs of any other organization formed by shall make a request of all disclosures at the beginning of each meeting, and we'll discuss. So maybe we could expand that 4.2, that in a public forum environment that the chair, public forum, whether it's written or verbal, will ask all speakers or submitters to provide a disclosure of interest or statement of interest.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking out loud here on the public comment process. Right now, ICANN has always operated under a system where you send an email, right?
Right. That's what I'm saying. So on either a submitter rather than a spoken presentation, so anyone who submits comments would preface those comments by a statement or declaration of interest.
I wonder if an online submission form would be better, though. Like, you go to a website, and here's where you submit your comments, Put your name here.
Well, exactly. When we submit now, that's a form that we're dealing with, so maybe there's a box on that form at the very top, my SOI, none, DOI, yes, on this issue, thus and such.
Yeah.
So that's a very good point. It could be right there in the, because when we submit comments, written comments, now there's a form, and of course we always have to, we get an email back that we click and confirm that we submitted and all of that. So there's no reason why we couldn't incorporate that into a form.
Yeah, and in our role here, we're saying that ICANN should encourage. Okay, now how do we go about it? How you go about implementing that encouragement?
Well, the chair of whatever meeting it might be.
And maybe the online submission process can be improved.
Exactly.
Exactly. Those types of things.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think that's a good comment. So we need to clean up that part, I think, of the relevant party definition. Any other issues on the definition, statement of interest definition or disclosure of interest definition? And by the way, is that what we're calling it, disclosure of interest versus declaration of interest, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Disclosure of interest. Any comments on those? Okay. Now, let me ask a question on that. On the disclosure of interest, are we clear, and maybe it's in more down into the body, but let me ask, are we clear when the disclosure of interest is to be invoked? Are we providing enough guidance on that?
You're saying in terms of should someone not disclose, and another individual picks that up and says, geez, that's just not on board, we better correct that, so they then take the next steps? So you're saying, is that...
Well, I've had more than one person ask me, what's the difference between a statement of interest and a disclosure of interest? And there are two distinct purposes to those two documents. A statement of interest is, we're saying, is understood to be updated not less than once a year, or when any changes are made. But are we clear when to invoke the disclosure? What is the purpose of that document? When is it needed? Of course, you do go down later and start talking about purposes. This paper does. So I don't want to jump ahead, but I just was curious if we all felt that
those are confusing.
Yeah. Are we? Is, you know.
Well, a statement of interest really is a statement of who and the actual text is here. What we submit? You know, my vocation, my employer, all of these things that we submit annually.
Mm-hmm.
The disclosure of interest is something that comes up that if I'm a consulting company and I've submitted all of that documentation to my statement, my disclosure is that I've just been hired last week by this registrar to, you know, support them in this particular issue, and I'm making that disclosure now. So I may be a consultant in my statement, but the disclosure is that I've actually taken on a client on this particular topic, and so they want to just put that up front so everyone knows that it's about, you know, I'm speaking transparently.
So should there be some, it's Tony here, should there be some reference here to the fact that the disclosure of interest is issue-based?
That would be a good point. Exactly the point. Sharpen that point up completely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and should that one sentence like that go into the definition?
Exactly, or proceed to be a judgment. You could literally at the very end of that sentence say, on a particular issue. So a disclosure made by relevant parties of direct or indirect interest that may be commercially or non-commercially oriented, for example, commercial benefits such as payment, non-commercial or non-tangible forms of benefits such as publicity, political or academic visibility that may affect judgment or perceived to affect a relevant party's judgment on a particular issue.
Hmm. Yeah, I think that helps. And then how do we set forth? I think we got an idea of how to implement the statement of interest. You know, the chair reminds consistently. Is this also a reminder that goes out consistently by the chair?
The chair asks for both a disclosure and a statement prior to every meeting.
Uh-huh.
So that then whatever those processes, those procedures, are should be applied to both. And I thought that's how we had it.
Okay.
On that point. That's not the way we have it. If you look at 4.2, it says the GNSO policy chair, et cetera, shall make a request for all disclosures of interest at the beginning of each meeting. Whereas if you look in the statement of interest section, that is made annually or any time there is a change.
Right, but the chair should be asking, is there any change to anybody in this room's statement of interest? No. Goes around the room. Is there any declarations of interest to be made? No. Now we proceed.
Right, and we don't say that here, and I'm hearing that it sounds like we should.
Absolutely, we should, yeah.
I didn't perceive it that way, I must admit. My understanding of this was certainly... Currently, I think on most of the GNSO calls, the chair asks if anyone has updated or wishes to update their current statement of interest, which seems quite appropriate. But the disclosure of interest, I thought the preferable way to do that would have been just for the chair as a standard way of opening the meeting should be just to remind people, because as each issue comes up, they should consider that as they go through the menu on every issue. So I'm not sure that you could expect everyone to come up front and say it at the start of the meeting, but give them a reminder that if any issues come up during that meeting where they have to disclose some interest, then it's beholden on them to do that.
I would agree with that. So we need to modify some language, Tony?
Yeah.
Or is that just you didn't get that read from this?
I didn't get that read in there, and
so
maybe it needs to go.
Disclosure of interest section 4.
Yes.
So it says they should welcome partially DOI.
Well, the actual process, I'm not sure it goes into quite into this document. I mean, it needs to say that in this document, but somewhere there needs to be, if you like, a rule of thumbs for each time this is going to be used. So it's almost a standard way of opening a meeting, and I'm not sure where that's recorded.
I think under 4.1, we can, again, just add a phrase at the end of that sentence. 4.1 says, relevant parties shall provide a disclosure of interest setting forth any direct or indirect interest that may affect a relevant party's judgment or perceived to affect a relevant party's judgment when and if such a when and if there is a nexus between their interest and a topic on the table.
That seems to make sense, Ron. Yes, I agree.
Something like that, you know. I mean, that language can get tightened up. But when and if such a disclosure is needed to address a particular topic on the table, something like that. Julie, I'll leave that to you to wordsmith.
Right, I'll be happy to.
But that does get it on the table. It gets it right up front and makes it clear when it should be, when it should happen. And so it'll be up to the chair people. And this comes back a little bit to the kind of work that was being done by Denise and Rob and one of the girls' name, who's Liz Gaskins. They were developing some sort of training materials and so forth in terms of developing people's capability to chair meetings and so forth. So this should be incorporated there, that in the training, anytime someone chairs, they need to be cognizant of these things.
Yes, I think that dovetails well, Ron, into that training concept. What about if somebody wants to speak in a personal capacity?
That's fine. They just stand up and state it. My name is Ron Androff, and I'm speaking in a personal capacity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that basically says I have no specific interest in this, or no declaration of interest, because if I'm just speaking, you know, just bringing my thoughts forward on this topic, just throwing them into the pot like anybody else would, as an individual, I should declare I have an interest if there's something within that discussion where I have an interest, and if I have none, then I declare none.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, what are suggestions on next action steps to this?
Before that, Chairman, I did want to ask the group.
Yeah.
If you go to the section Procedures to Ensure Accuracy, Section 5, and the selection of a five-person team or five-person group to actually do a review, I included the ICANN Ombudsman in that. The reason I included him was because I felt that there, you know, this is an issue of people have not been complete and they've not been wholly honest in their actions, so they may feel somewhat put upon. So the thinking there simply was that if the ombudsman is part of that group, then the ombudsman's hearing everything firsthand. So if there's a reason for the individual to look to the ombudsman for some redress of some sort, that ombudsman has been privy to everything that's been said. Does that make sense to you guys, or do you think that that's something that's extraneous?
Well, speaking, so I have some question about this review committee.
Yes.
As a whole, so I understand. So that your proposal is to. Just to serve as a committee in case, just in case. Uh-huh.
It sort of gets picked up ad hoc, you know, so when something
yes,
arises...
Ad hoc. Ad hoc means it's in case.
Yeah.
So the question is, do we expect cases and how many? That would be one question for me. Because we should think about if we expect many cases or several cases, so how could you manage that process, well, to establish ad hoc, case by case, a new review committee? Or wouldn't that be necessary, well, to have a kind of standing committee or not, a kind of committee which is still existing, you know, for each case? That's my question.
I'm concerned about standing committees only because standing committees you know, the longer someone's standing, the more, you know, the more opportunities for, you know, that for that to be tainted.
But it's only to the question to have somebody already in place, you know, in case there is something, rather than to start again and again.
Well, we have effectively in this plan, we have the chair or the vice chair, whichever is going to be responsible for overseeing this. Then we have the ombudsman. So we really need to select three people. So one more of which comes from policy council. So we'd have two counselors and two from the general community at large. In terms of how many we're going to have, I mean, one, you know, how long is a piece of string? Don't know until I see it. So I think the answer here is we just need to put something in, have a mechanism in place, and then allow that to unfold. But I would hope that, you know, our community is going to be truthful and straightforward about their dealings. Now, the idea here is that the biggest sanction and the biggest problem is just the embarrassment of having to go through one of these things. So there's really that's the only pain. If somebody has no fear or no embarrassment whatsoever, they don't care, then this is really isn't going to hurt that individual too much. But it's the embarrassment factor that's the largest thing, that a committee has to be formed. Now they have to determine what they're going to do with me.
Yes.
You know, so this was sort of the logic there, is that it's no standing committee. That means no one can lobby anyone. A friend, I can't go and, you know, see a friend of mine to go have him put in a good word, you know, to somebody who's a friend of that individual who's on the committee.
Yeah.
It all has to it's all ad hoc. So no one knows who's there but the chair or the vice chair and the ombudsman.
Yeah. But let me just ask you the other way around. It means, do you have any experience in the past? Did you have cases? Did you have many cases? I don't have any.
Not to my knowledge that there's been any time when anyone's been brought up with regard to questioning their
okay.
motives behind their discussion. So that's really why this, again, it comes down to transparency, and it's critical that if we have this in place, it forces people to address and be honest with who they represent and what they're saying. That's the objective, and it's a transparent situation in that at any time a committee can be pulled together and a review committee and do that work.
Okay, and for me it's clear. Okay.
Okay, so, you know, just to kind of bring this into fold, if you will, when right now in the current GNSO Council new rules of procedure, from what I can see looking at it, I don't see anything in here that speaks to statements of interest or disclosures of interest. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. So this is like a new procedure that we're going to be adding to what is currently the GNSO Council rules of procedure. So keep that in mind. I mean, that's where this is going to fall. Is into the rules of procedure. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yes, and it should.
Okay, now going back to the substance of that 5.2, I didn't want to spend this much time on it, but if we run over a little bit, we'll run over a little. You know, 5.1, ICANN staff shall review relevant party statement of interest to ensure completeness and accuracy. I don't know. I don't know if we can do that, get there. That's putting a burden on ICANN staff. I agree ICANN staff is where it belongs. What I'm not sure is whether they can ensure completeness. Now, I'm not sure they can ensure accuracy, or maybe they can't even ensure completeness. You see what I mean? It's almost like someone's going to ask a question.
I think ensure accuracy is, I agree with you on that. It's impossible for the staff to ensure accuracy. So I would go along with what you're suggesting, Ray, and that would be to ensure completeness, period, full stop.
I think the background to this, Ray, is that in the past, when we've had to produce statements of interest on council, there's been no pro forma initially, and everyone put their own version of this in, and there were some key differences around that. So completeness is probably correct, because they need to be done in a standard way, for sure, but accuracy, there's absolutely no way that can happen.
Right. And I think part of what we're trying to accomplish with this whole thing is, right now, you know, we know there are things being said or views being represented, and somebody can't say, well, you know what, that person has an interest here, and I want to bring forward the fact that this person is swaying opinion based on an interest that he or she is not disclosing. So we want to allow the community a way to question that and say, you know, I question that this statement of interest hasn't been updated, or a mechanism to go back to staff and say, you know, and question something. Right now there isn't one, right?
There's
no way. So that's part of what we're, it's not so much about putting staff in a position of being the police as much as it is allowing anybody from the community to have a place to go and say, I question this. So just something for us to keep in mind. And
well, and actually, that's what 5.2 does address. It says that, you know, if there's any issue about completeness, accuracy, or truthfulness raised by staff or members of the community, that hasn't been addressed in 5.1. So, in other words, there's two levels here. The first level is staff says, you know, you missed some blanks, fill them in. The second one is, you know, I say that I'm a trained computer engineer when I'm not, and the staff knows I'm not, and they would have to say, geez, you know, that's not quite right. So they're still coming back to me. They're talking to the chair and to me about that, but it hasn't gone to the next level where I say, no, that's what it is. I don't give a shit. And then they come back and they move it to, then it gets escalated, if you will, to 5.2, where there's a committee is called and so forth.
Is it our role to, I mean, I'm thinking to myself, and I'm thinking out loud at the same time, okay? I mean, it seems like our role would be, okay, it's up to staff to ensure completeness. It's up to staff to have a mechanism enabled to allow a community member to question. Now, from their staff, how you go about it is up to you. But, that, you know, in other words, we don't even get into this 5.2, and we talk about how staff goes about this. We're just, our recommendation is, you know, these things need to be done. Staff, this is on your plate. You have to ensure completeness. You know, we're recommending that you ensure that staff ensures completeness. And one thing to keep in mind is that whatever our output is, or what we have to get it through the current GNSO Council. So at the end of the day, all we're doing is we're recommending to the existing GNSO Council what our output is.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Are you sure that this would not be? So all the work that we are doing has to go back to council to have their approval. Now, is that correct understanding?
That is my understanding. Julie, do you have any different understanding?
Well, I know that the work of this team goes to the OSC.
Right.
And then the OSC, after they've reviewed our recommendations, would say, okay, these are the recommendations that basically the OSC endorses. So if this group says, here are our recommendations, and if the OSC says, yes, we agree, then the OSC says to the council, these are the recommendations that really are coming from the OSC.
Yeah.
And because there is council participation on the OSC,
yeah, right.
Now, certainly, you know, there's some suggestion there that there's, you know, they've sort of had an opportunity to already know what's going on and, you know, and to be participating. I don't mean to suggest that.
No, good point, Julie. I'll cut you off there. You're right. The theory is that because there is quite broad participation by the existing council now in the OSC, that nothing that finally gets to the council level through the OSC is going to be new or something they aren't familiar with. So I think that's where you're trying to get to, Julie. Right. Okay. So let me rephrase my point. We have to get whatever it is we do through the OSC, which is going to be comprised of existing council members that eventually have to recommend to the board.
Well, I'm also on that OSC, so it's not just councilors.
Yes, I understand. Right.
But Ray, I wanted and I kind of take issue with the language only to say that we don't have to get anything through. What our job is as a work team is to come up with a series of recommendations on various elements that have been assigned to us. So under the OSI and DOI rubric, we've come back with a recommendation as to this is what we think the operation should be. Now, if the OSC wants to debate that and remove some language or do a rewrite of something, that's out of our hands.
Right.
But I think it's important that we give the OSC the full scope of what we're talking about, as opposed to giving them just kind of a half-baked cake and say, you guys figure out the rest. I think that would be
ill-served. I don't know if it's half-baked. You know, there are other work teams. I'm not sure if it's half-baked. I'm questioning that to myself, really, not you so much, in that when we start going down the path of structure, creating new bodies, creating new, you know, basically, I think we might be going off into areas that we're going to get pushback. And I'm just asking the work team as a group here, do we want to stick with process, or do we really want to go down the path of developing all new structures? And I don't need an answer now, but start thinking about it that way.
I don't understand the question.
Well, we're creating new structures. You know, for example, a structure.
Are you moving from the SOI DOI, or are you talking in general?
I'm talking in general, but this is an example in the SOI DOI where we're more or less recommending a new structure consisting of, you know, a couple of constituency members, the ombudsman. See, it's one thing to say, you know, we recommend this concept should fall under staff to ensure completeness. We believe that these statements of interest and declaration of interest should be brought to light and implemented. We believe those are good high-level recommendations. But when we start going off now into creating new structures of groups of people.
Ray, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
yeah, no,
the staff are not going to determine what the structures are. Who's going to determine that? You know, if you throw it back to the OSC, you think the OSC has lots of time on their hands? The OSC has to deal with all of the work teams coming, bringing their information back. So the reason that we're detailed to this level is to give them something to work with. And if they come back and say, you know what, we cut that, we're going to give that back to the GNSO and let them determine it, it's fine.
I would rather
err on the side of giving too much information than too little information. Otherwise, we haven't served the community as we've been tasked to do.
Well, yep. That's a good view. And I don't know, maybe Tony or Wolf might have some feelings on that as well. I don't know, but I just wanted to throw it out there, you know, because I think it is a relevant question. I know in your mind, Ron, you don't think it is, but I do. I think
I don't see it as not being irrelevant. My comment is as I just said, our job as a work team is to address certain things, and we're trying to check those off the list. And so what we've got now are two things that are, you know, relatively well developed, let me put it that way. I don't know what percentage, 80%, 90%, but they're pretty close. Now, one is the SOI DOI document, and the other is document on that we asked for some feedback from the kite. So we've got those two documents now, and what we need to do as a group, in my view, is just finalize our opinion on them and get on with the next activities. Because the way it stands right now, we've determined that within the definitions there were a few itchies that needed to be cleaned up, mm-hmm. and I brought your attention to this idea of ombudsman, and that sprung to a new idea whether or not we should even go into this dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Point being is, the question is really, do we believe an ombudsman should be there or not? Not whether or not we should give this to the OSC to figure out or not. You know, we need to say, okay, let's look at things holistically. How do they all fit into the bigger picture? And do our part, hand them off to the OSC, and then move on. So SOI, DOI, I would really hope, while I appreciate the compliment that I've been doing some heavy lifting here, I really am frustrated that zero comments came to this document until this conversation.
Mm-hmm. No, fair enough.
It's impossible.
Enough.
We have a team, I don't know, of seven or eight people.
Mm-hmm.
Half of them don't join the calls, and no one responds to these documents. So then we get on the call and we talk about it. It's all well and good that we talk about and discuss it, but we should have made the substantial statements during the course of these last 2 weeks, and what we should be doing is finalizing on this call.
Mm-hmm.
So SOI DOI, from my point of view, is a document that's pretty well ready to go, except for these small itches. I would expect that Julie should come back with some cleaned up language, and that the work team can more or less sign off on it if, in fact, we agree that these things make sense, and we've fleshed out the definitions and so forth.
Rob, fair enough, and you have done a lot of work. I am drawing question to 5.2. That's all. I'm just drawing that out.
Yeah.
And I understand your opinion.
But
I would like to hear from Wolf or from Tony if they have any. If anything that I'm saying has any merit at all, or maybe they're fine with 5.2 developing that kind of structure, and I'm not trying to lobby any particular position. I'm just drawing it out that there's a theme to the document that I think is well done. And then we get the 5.2, and to me it kind of sticks out. But let me hear what others have to say, if anything.
I mean, what's in 5.2 is one way of addressing it, for sure. I can understand Ron's frustration with this. I think I know some of the reasons why as well, because I think there's a pretty thin spread of people who are actually engaging right across the piece on this because they're overloaded. But I saw it the same way, that this would be a recommendation that goes into the OSC as such. If they don't like it, well, even if they do like it, I think on all of these issues there's going to be some broader discussion at OSC. So if this group are at the stage where they haven't wanted to put forward an alternative, then it should go forward to OSC. I think I'm with Ron on that, and they can discuss it there.
Good. Wolf, anything?
Not different to that.
Okay, good. Okay. All right, I am in agreement. I think we're all in agreement on that then. Okay, I just wanted to flesh that point out.
I do have one sort of worry allied to this, and it isn't specifically to 5.2. It's a broader issue, although it impacts on, I think, on some of the comments I made on the other document. If all of the groups are finding new ways of doing things that do result in new structures, then any decision on those structures needs to be taken at the OSC, because the one thing we're not successful on is resource to basically fill people in all of the teams. So I'm assuming that's a conversation that will take place at the OSC, and if they feel that what's come back, not just from our group, but from the other groups, and when they put it all together, it's too onerous. There'll have to be some decisions made there.
Mm-hmm. That's a good comment as well. Okay, so everybody understands the context of what I'm asking and why, and I happen to be in agreement with both Ron and Tony and Wolf. So we're all on the same page. Now, do we understand as well that this document, and Julie, you can also please offer your advice on this one, this document would collapse into the rules of procedures document? Is that correct?
Ray, I think that's where it probably properly fits.
Okay. As a work team, do we understand that and agree with that?
Yes.
Good. Okay. Now, with that said, I want to beg your time a little bit here. We're approaching the hour, but I do want to spend just a little bit of time on your thoughts on some of the comments we got back for the high-level document that we sent out. And any questions, by the way. And by the way, I wasn't hiding names. If anybody wants to know who said what, I'm more than happy to share that. I just thought maybe we just look at the substance of it first and then worry about who's who.
On that regard, Ray, I think it's important that we do note who made what comments.
Sure.
I'm not too overly concerned for the work team, but as much for the transparency.
Sure.
But what is a little frustrating is we sent that document with two questions. The question says, to be clear, the work team is asking you two questions. One, do you think the proposed separation of responsibilities would better serve the stakeholder groups that make the current and future GNSO or not? And two, if your answer to question one is negative, on what basis? If your answer to question one is affirmative, is there anything that the proposal we've overlooked or merits the inclusion? So we asked a very specific question. So we should have gotten back a yes, no, and a comment. But what we got were a number of different statements that, as I've gone through them, there were 10 statements. And basically, it shows that the current policy counselors that we sent this to think the GNSO is the policy council. They talk about some of the comments talked about, you know, that we need to provide resources to council. This document is about providing resources to council and to administration. We're not dividing the council, as we've discussed on the call. The issue of that we talk about policy development, this is contrary to the board recommendations. Well, that's more of a typo than anything else, because we all understand it's policy coordination activities, so it's a misunderstanding. The key principles, again, policy management body, not a policy development body. So as I go through these, there was only a couple that really understood effectively what we're trying to do. So it's a shame that we didn't force them to just answer our questions, because that would have been more helpful. But in my view, having reviewed this, I see that there's some language that needs to be cleaned up to make it clearer. But otherwise, this kite should go to the community, as was originally recommended, so the community can tell us whether or not they like the direction we're going as a work team or not. And now that we've got a little more time vis-a-vis October versus June, it should help us to shape this document even better.
Any other comments?
Well, one of the things that came over to me when I read through the comments is that I think there's been a different understanding of this document from some people, and almost a confusion, which I was a little bit surprised, because we sent it to people who were considered to be, I think, the elders of the GNSO process to some degree. And it was a real mixed bag of comments that come back. So I was as frustrated, I think, as anybody, because I couldn't really see a clear answer to the proposal that we'd set out.
Well, this is how they chose to answer the question.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is how they chose to do that.
And I think that's going to prove difficult going forward, because the community, they're going to come back with probably an even broader range of comments, and we're going to have to really pick our way through that really carefully to actually take on board the comments that came back. So I think it's a difficult one. I think we need the feedback, but I'm not optimistic that what comes back is initially going to be very helpful.
Could we not be more specific, Tony? I mean, could we not be more specific? Say this again, this was in 14-point text and with a big red. Maybe we have to write the whole thing in red and say, to be clear, you know, we're asking you yes, no. I mean, because we want direction with this kite.
Yeah, we do. I think you're right, Ron. I think that what we should do is probably have two or three key questions and make it quite clear what are the options for answering those questions, and then say we also welcome some broader comments, but you have to answer these three. Please answer these three in the manner that we're asking.
Exactly, exactly. Because once we can see that, you know, 60% say this and 40% say that, or you know, 30% say that and 10 are uncommitted, at least we know that we're walking down the right path. I feel very strongly about that, because I think it's critical that we get this thing moving. There wasn't anything in these responses that was surprising, other than the fact that it showed people don't really read very clearly. They scanned the document, and then they responded that, you know, well, we do some administrative stuff, but staff can do that. If you read the document that we proposed, or that was sent out, let me put it that way, it was quite clear who does what and how it happens and what staff does. But I think what we got was a scan and kind of a knee-jerk reaction from a few people about how they see their workload as policy officers today.
Let me ask a supplementary question on top of that, Ben Ron. Is there anything in here that when you read through these bullets, you think, if we took that into account, we could probably clarify that now or make it better, or we should have taken this into account earlier? Because there's some
Some notes on every point here, and the first one is policy members today spend time usefully on policy and spend time unnecessarily. Okay, I would view that as yes, we're going in the right direction. The second one, ICANN has grown to an organization to be able to provide resources to council that are not administrative related. Okay, we understand that, but that's not GNSO. Third point.
Say that second one again.
Second point, it says ICANN has grown as an organization to be able to provide resources to council that are not administrative.
No, that are administrative.
That are administrative related. And so, again, that's council. That's not the GNSO.
Ron, can I just cut you off for a second? Because I just want to raise this point with you, right? I think that what Ron's done, and I had an initial look at this as well, I think we should all do, and I'd quite like to spend 20 minutes or half an hour when we've all got our comments on these bullets, just walking through as a group. I think that would be really helpful to do before we sent it out.
That's fine. Well, I'm happy to submit this in writing, but bottom line.
Well, I wasn't suggesting you do that, Ron. I mean, if we all take the time to work through these bullets, and I think most of us would have a comment on each of them, then I think as a group, we're a pretty small group, we could spend 20 minutes on a call just working through our comments on these and trying to get a feel for whether we have answered these or whether we need to do something more to the document before it goes out.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I'll support that.
Well, speaking here, so my impression was when I read those comments, so it immediately the question came up to me, does it make sense to send such a questionnaire, which we did, to those people? Does it make sense in the future to do that again? Because I don't expect different kind of answers, different kind of behavior in answering. If you go through the comments, so you see there's a lot of may and maybes and it appears and it seems to be and those things. So there is no very clear answer and no clear statement from somebody to our question. That's what you have said already. But so then the question is really, does it make sense to repeat that thing, to go into more detail and then to repeat, repeatedly send it again to those people and ask for answers to that, rather than to just spring into the cold water, let me say, to seek or to search for a mutual document agreed upon within our group, and then really send it to the community, and then ask for and then start the discussion. Go into the discussion, because really. So as I said, so I don't expect different answers.
I had a different perspective on that, Wolf. Maybe it's my misunderstanding, but I thought the next stage would be we would send it to each of the constituencies.
Yeah. Okay.
And what we would be looking for would be a debate to take place within the constituency, and for them to respond as a group.
Yeah. Okay.
That's correct. That's exactly how I see it.
I agree.
So,
yes.
Yeah.
That's what I mean with community, not only to send it out to the entire community, but the ICANN, the community within the constituencies. Yeah.
So
I assume the process would be this would go to each of the either the chairs or the secretaries of the constituencies, and
yeah.
And then they would have to put in place the activity to come back with an answer to the question.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. And as a constituent, so the BC says yes, and here's our rationale why with our supplementary comments, and the ISP says no, and the whatever. And but that way we'll get some logic.
Yes, but it was again. So what I see with regards to the response regarding the split of the GNSO Council into administrative and policy part. So there is some reflection on that. And the one is, so some of the opinion is, okay, forget the administrative part done by the council at all, just shift it to ICANN. That's their task. That's what I read from some of those comments.
That's what I read as well.
And so that's what we should discuss, and we should find an opinion about that.
I agree with that. Well, I would. My point in this regard is simply that, they say there may not be sufficient administrative responsibilities over the long haul to warrant a separate. Well, let's find out. We don't know. No one knows. There may be a tremendous amount of work, and if it's not necessary, we are going to go through another review, guys, in 3 years. my point is, if this thing is not happening, if in the next 36 months, if there's no reason to have an administrative body, then the effort was fruitless. Nice try. Thanks for your efforts. Goodbye. We're taking it out. This is not carved in stone. There's nothing at ICANN carved in stone. So, you know, the whole point here is we need to implement this process, wind it down if it's not necessary, but at this stage of the game, we want to make sure that our managers manage policy and our administrators administrate, and we're falling down gravely on the other side. That was been my argument from day one. We don't have outreach. We don't expand our bodies. Who's going to do that? Staff is going to be doing outreach? I'm sorry. I don't think staff should be doing outreach for the commercial stakeholders group. I think commercial stakeholders group should be doing outreach to their colleagues.
Well, you know, as a member of this work team, I am definitely drawing that, you know, the question that Wolf has also interpreted, that, you know, is there a need to set up all this under all this administrative stuff under a separate body within the council versus administrative processes being staff supported?
I didn't get the impression that Wolf supports that.
Okay, then maybe I misunderstood.
Wolf, is that correct? You support
staff? I didn't say he supported it. I think he said that that's what he was interpreting from the comments.
Well, no, I wasn't supporting. So I was just
interpreting.
Reporting what I...
Okay, right. I interpreted that as well. The second bullet point was, you know, basically that ICANN has grown as an organization now to provide the administrative resources the GNSO needs, you know, and frees them up now to be the manager of the policy.
And that's the view that I support as well.
But we should discuss that. So if we come to a conclusion that should be the case, and then we should really make a point here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, here's the point. We've got one representative of our team who's on the council, and if that representative tells me that we only focus 90% of our time on policy and 10% of our time on administration, I'm going to comment on that. If he says we spent 60% of our time on policy and 40% of our time on administration, I'm going to comment on that, and the comment's going to be the same comment. If in fact you're only spending 40% of your time on administration, who's doing the other 60%?
Well,
if you're spending 10% of your time in administration, who's doing the other 90%? Who's doing the outreach? I haven't seen the outreach happen in any of the constituencies in any serious way whatsoever.
It has happened in our constituency, Ron, and it's happened with the help of ICANN staff directly. And
who did it on your side?
The Secretariat did it with ICANN staff. But the ICANN staff did a lot of lifting on that. And things have changed radically, because if we'd had this conversation probably a year to 18 months ago, I would totally have bought into this, because at that stage the administration of council, it was just eating resource. But now we've benefited from the fact we've got some really good staff. People on the policy side.
That's on developing policy. That's my point.
No,
that's all about developing policy. And so anything that's administrative, you just throw over into the staff box. And I don't think that's right. I think the constituencies should be doing their own administration.
I don't. It depends. And again, this comes back to another comment. And I think I see where we've got different views on this. That what you call administration for GNSO, I don't even include outreach in that box. I mean, for me, outreach is outreach from the community, it's outreach from the constituency. I don't think that that's a role the GNSO has at all.
No,
I think
but
that's
here's,
down
we're all, here's the point, Tony. We're supposed to be thinking about operations for the GNSO. The GNSO is made up of what? It's made up of commercial stakeholder groups. Who are those stakeholder groups? What do they need? What do they do? How does the GNSO as a body support that work?
I don't think it's under
the policy council. That's
that
the point. Policy council is a different story. Policy council and GNSO have been confused by everybody in the community as being the same thing, and it's not. What we are right now is a one-legged man called policy council, and we need to put another boot on the ground called administration that's going to do outreach and look at these far off a field issues that are coming towards us and so forth. Everything that's in the document. So I think we need to review the document before we come back to this discussion. But
this has been helpful, Ron. Your comments have been helpful to me, because the tasks that you're talking about, I don't even think they're tasks for council. And I don't see why, if we're working for the GNSO council, then we're considering those issues.
We're not dealing with the GNSO council. We're dealing with the GNSO operation. Nobody's said we're supposed to develop policy council activities. We're supposed to develop the GNSO.
Well, let me ask this, guys.
And what is the GNSO right now? It's only one body.
We're not developing policy for stakeholder groups either, and I think that's where this responsibility sits, not with GNSO, which is at the top tier of that.
What we've got to do is create a framework of some sort so people can start to see where is the work to be done. If we
Ron,
don't create
I
a framework, there's no
correct.
Framework to be done.
Ron, I think you're absolutely correct, and I think that's why I'm getting a little ankle-biting on what you just said and what we're getting with this GNSO Council Rules of Procedure. Okay, this is what we need to get done, and I think, Ron, your document, that this document that we're talking about, that we've worked together on, collapses into this as well.
Exactly.
All right, so I don't think, now here's where I'm at, and you're probably not going to like it, okay? I don't think we're ready to send this document out to the constituencies. I don't think we are.
Can I finish?
I think what might be, and especially given the little extra time we've been given, I think what might be a sounder approach is to put together the entire pie that is this GNSO Council Rules of Procedures, of which this document is going to collapse into. I'm not going to argue what goes into it, you know, here. But I think what we need to start thinking about is getting this Rules of Procedure document, collapse what you've prepared, what we've prepared together, into this. Let's collapse the SOI, DOI into this. Let's do what else we can do within the current rules of procedures, update, modify, and then let's send that out.
Chair, I respectfully disagree with strong terms, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
You're giving people too much to chew. This will choke the horse. Gentlemen, I'm not sure what part of this I can't seem to get across. But my point was what was drafted there. While it may be in detail, it's a kite.
I don't think it's that hard for us to get there.
No, my point is it's a kite. A kite means it's not a final document. It's nothing more than a kite. When I put a kite up in the air, I see which way the wind blows it, then I know which way the wind's blowing, and I follow that direction.
Well, I think
this
we're having
document,
some... Yeah, but
this,
Ron,
Ray,
Ron.
Let me finish now.
Okay,
this
please.
Document was drafted for one reason and one reason only, to get into the community so the community could come back and say, yes, we like this direction, or no, what are you idiots doing?
Right.
If they say, no, what are you idiots doing, we scrap this document, you guys can move along however you want. But if they say, yes, this is the right direction, then we've got something to work with regarding the rules of procedure. Today, we don't have anything. This was only to get a sense of the direction of the community. Do they feel this would serve them or not? Full stop. But we've debated for weeks to find out whether this is true. And guess what? We sit on our hands, nothing happens, and the document languishes. And now we've drafted another document, and it's going to languish. I'm sorry, gentlemen. I just don't understand what the hesitation is. There's no reputations that we're going to lose here. There's no fear of anybody coming and attacking us here. Mm-hmm. It's about getting this out. So it's now the 1st of June. And in 3 weeks, we're going to have a meeting in Sydney. Let's get it out. When we get to Sydney, people will give us feedback. We'll walk the halls. We'll hear everything. Then when we sit down for our meeting, we say, you know what? Everybody hates it.
Mm-hmm. Can I comment on this, right?
Yeah, please do. That's Tony.
Yeah. I'd support Ron in that the document needs to go out. And I'd very much appreciate being in a position where whatever time frame we set for response back, it embraces Sydney, because certainly for our constituency, this would form a useful discussion, and the more people that engage in that, the better. That the opportunity to do that is while we're in Sydney. So I'd very much favour the document going out. Before it goes out, though, I still come back to the point I made earlier, that I think maybe on the next call, if we could just have a quick discussion around the bullets that came back on the feedback, so at least we can say to those folks, well, we did listen to what you said, and we had some discussion about the points you raised.
Mm-hmm.
It may result in no amendment to the document itself, but it may mean that we agree on some points and we do tweak it a little bit before it goes out. I think we've got time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, if we could then not throw it to the great wide world, but throw it to all of the constituencies. And we probably need to include in that the other constituencies that are currently lodged applications with ICANN as well.
I'm going to interrupt there, Tony. Until you're a bona fide member of the community as a constituency, you can participate in any other constituency. I don't feel it's right. And these guys they're asking to be a constituency, and I know from the BC's point of view, there's some pushback on one in particular.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's a right.
Okay,
thing.
I accept that.
I think
one.
Existing constituencies have a right.
Okay, accept your point on that. And maybe if we could get that out with, if we aim to do it, certainly to give a little bit of breathing space before Sydney, then I think it would be helpful.
Well, I anticipated this conversation today, and that's why I suggested that we would want to have a follow-up call next Wednesday. Are we all on board with that approach? I think we have our action item. I think Tony has suggested that we each look at the comments that were provided back to us, provide our own initial thoughts, preferably by email, maybe a discussion, and then next Wednesday we'll be at a point of sending this document out to the various constituencies.
I may have a personal problem in making that call, but if I do, I'll send my comments in, and Wolf Ulrich will be on the call anyway.
And by the way, it doesn't have to be Wednesday of next week. I just picked that day. That's our normal day.
Unfortunately, for my part, I'm traveling on the weekend. I'll be traveling all next week, so I will not be able to get on the call. But I'll submit my comments right after the call to you, Ray.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead and send it to the group.
So I send it to Julie. She'll distribute. How do we send to the group?
The email address is.
Is that the one you used when you sent over this recent thing?
Yeah. That comes to everybody who's on.
Yes.
Who's on the.
Okay. Very good.
GNSO-OSC-OPS.
Yep, I'm looking at it now.
Okay. So go ahead and send to the group. I think what I'm hearing here as the chair is that we definitely want to get this document out to the constituencies prior to the Sydney meeting. We also want to try to get feedback as part of the Sydney meeting.
With feedback, yes, just in general, but we're going to ask the constituencies very specific questions. Yes or no, and supporting documents welcome. But we want to know a yes or no. Wolf Ulrich was very correct. He said this may be, and this might happen, and mm-hmm. appears to be. Mm-hmm. It's so much vagary that it doesn't give us any direction. So we really have to have a yes or a no. And the logic behind the yes or no would suffice. But if they want to add further comments, they're welcome, obviously. But I think the kite is to get direction. We need to make sure that language is, the answers are specific.
All right. Do we know what the questions are yet, or is this going
to
be
questions,
what?
The questions that we submitted to this to the elders.
I mean, do you want to add to the questions? Do you want to clarify the questions? You know, we asked the questions, we got what we got. There's no reason to not expect the same thing is going to happen.
No, I think that we can probably make this instead of 14-point, 16-point, and red, and just when you send it out, say you are being asked to answer a question, a single question, yes or no. And so that puts the onus on the officers of the various constituencies to guide the meetings and discussions that they have with their constituencies to get a consensus, yes or no.
Let me just ask you this, Ron. If it was just a yes or no question to what we got, to what you read, the comments that we got, what do you think the answer would have been?
Yeah.
Well, it's impossible to tell because exactly what Will said. It may be difficult. It may not be sufficient. It appears to be. There has some value, but I actually am not sure. I mean, that's what we got here was a lot of nothing. We got people's comments from their personal perspective as opposed to responding to what we asked. Do you think the proposed separation of responsibilities would better serve the stakeholder groups that make up the current and future GNSO or not? That couldn't be more clear. If your answer is one, on what basis? If your answer to number one is negative, means you said no, on what basis do you say no? Number three, if your answer is affirmative, is there anything missing? In other words, you agree that we should go this way. Is there anything missing that we missed that you should think should merit conclusion?
I hear you. I can't enforce what people respond with.
No,
I can't go back to them and say, "Oh, sorry, you didn't answer the question."
No. But you could, if you wanted to go back right now, you could send an email to everyone who responded to you and say, "If I give you the question again, these three questions, please respond yes or no." You'll get a response back, or they'll ignore us. But at least you'll get some yeses or nos.
Right. That's another reason why I haven't gone back to those that haven't, because I thought we might want to clarify what we're asking when we do, but go back and ask and do the same thing again.
But for the constituencies, they all have representatives. We know who they are, and we send it out and say, please, this is what we need back. This is a kite. It gives us direction. And it opens up very clearly, this thing. It says, this is the we've been tasked to do this, first paragraph. Second, it says, we're not even all in agreement on it. This isn't a recommendation. This is not a firm recommendation. But we need direction from you guys. So I don't care about if you guys want to clean up the language and make it stronger or whatever, but I think the questions that are there are quite clear, and that's really what we're asking the officers of the various constituencies to respond back to us with. Now, why they won't, why they wouldn't is beyond me, because we're supposed to be working in a collegial fashion here to develop something that serves all.
Well, speaking, so I may. Ron, I don't expect that is that easy, you know, to get answers like we would like to have, you know, yes or no, or let me say, under the condition that and this and that, because so it's really the question, the very top question is whether we should go with the split of the council or not.
That's not splitting the council. Not splitting the council.
Or GNSO. Let me say.
No. Yes, exactly. Two fledged bodies within the supporting organization.
Yes. You see, but you know, the wording is also not that easy to manage, because I understand also those comments which we have received are also reflecting that some people, you know, they don't care about. Is it council or is it GNSO? If they talk about GNSO, they mean council. They think about it. And it's the same. It's the same like...
Yes, I agree. Wolf, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but this is exactly the point. This is what we're trying to address. We're trying to correct people's vision of the GNSO, generic name supporting organization, as being the council. Mm-hmm. The council is one part of this organization.
Right.
So if you say that people already think that way, my answer is I agree. That's exactly why we're doing this exercise, to clarify to people there's more activities going on here.
Those of us who are
in constituencies
feeling
starved of information is problematic.
Yeah, but Ron, no, there's a reason for that. I mean, one of our mandates is to have council act as a manager of the process rather than the actual policy development.
And we agree with that.
But that's why there is the confusion. Part of what we are doing is about what the council's role is and how the council performs.
As well as how the administrative body performs, but that's been a ghost until now.
Right, but when someone replies with, you know, I believe ICANN has grown as an organization to be able to provide administrative support to the council, and then we bash that response because, oh, see, they're just thinking it's the council, not the
region.
So,
No.
He's taking a perspective of, you know, how does council become, you know, a manager of the process rather than... So part of what we are tasked to do, Ron, is... council activities. You know, it is
I'm not disagreeing with that.
Let's not bash people just because they might be interchanging the term.
No, Chair, what I'm trying to say, and let me.
I think it's reasonable that the
term is
being...
First of all, this
is
not a bash, I take offense to the fact that you're saying I'm bashing anyone who's first of all, not known to me. But more important than that, what I'm saying is his statement, this individual's statement, says resources to council.
Right.
That are administrative related. But this is an individual who did not read the 4-page document, because the 4-page document very clearly delineates what's the policy management side and what the administrative side are.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to tell me the staff are now going to start looking at horizon issues that impact, cross-cut all of the various stakeholder groups, I'm going to say no. This is a bottom-up driven organization from day one and needs to be that and maintain that. And staff is here to serve the constituencies and the stakeholder groups and the council with providing backup support and making sure that everything falls into proper legal context. It's not their job to go out and start to look at horizon issues. It's not their job to be doing outreach for membership. It's not their job to be doing all of those things.
Right,
it's our job.
But just to be clear again, I mean, the recommendation is to create new groups, subgroups, whatever you want to call them, within the council.
No, those working groups are not all council members.
No, I'm not talking about the working groups. I'm talking about the executive committee, the administrative committee of the council?
All we are saying is sitting beside the chair and the vice chair of the that is currently sitting now as the GNSO policy chair is another person. That's all we're doing. We're just having one person, a chair of administration or a vice chair of administration, vice chair of policy, and a chairman of the whole organization, of the whole SO. Just like the other SOs have a chair and a vice chair. You know, this is nothing. We're not creating a whole new body. What we're doing is just saying now what we've got a human being standing with two legs instead of one leg. And one leg's administration, one leg's policy administration.
Yeah, but doesn't the proposal ask for two members of each constituency to be...
We suggest that would be a good way to go forward, but that's, again, up to the OSC and up to the GNSO to make those determinations.
Well, I'm just saying, we are suggesting that, so that is like creating a new structure within the council. Not within the GNSO, I mean in the broader sense, but
right.
Now we're talking specifically the council, and that's the interpretation that we're getting.
Just a second. You've got a body for administration and a body for council. Council remains with the same hierarchy it has today.
I must admit, on this, I have the same perception as Ray. So I think you have one view. We have another, Ron.
Yes, but guys, hold it. You know, three phone calls back, we already clarified the fact that this is not splitting the policy council in two. It's one policy council that does work, and one administrative body that does work.
But it's a new body in the GNSO.
Yes, a new body in the GNSO. Come on, guys, look at the chart. I mean, please, this is getting a little bit crazy, and I'm sorry to be so harsh, but, you know, there's a chart that we actually added to this thing, which I think made things pretty clear, and we talked about that two calls ago.
Well, I hear you, Ron, and please don't take offense to anything
I'm
saying.
Offense.
And I didn't,
I'm
but by the way, I do want to
my
clarify.
Colleagues because we're talking about something we already covered two calls ago,
yeah, but
on how the structure of this thing is, and you're both saying to me I never understood that. I thought
really what I'm trying to do, just so I'm clear, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to use the comment, the feedback we got back, and I think they're a little confused. So if we want to send this out to a broader constituency group
we can get those two questions. There's always going to be confusion. There will never be a time when everybody understands everything that's been written or said. What we do know is people, number one, are busy and overworked. Two, that they don't read documents. They scan them. And three, they're really quick with their comments without actually having researched the work. That's human nature. So we know that going in. But all we are looking for is some direction with regard to this kite instead of the three of us debating every week whether or not we agree. I'd like to have 300 people decide whether they agree.
All right. Now, there is one higher-level question I'd like to ask. The higher-level question is, should the new structure within the council be created, the two-legged animal, as you call it, Ron? And then another question could be, do you think that administrative functions of the GNSO should fall under staff purview?
No, because it's not. No, this is no. I don't agree with that. Administrative stuff. There's a question of definition of administration is. But again, I've delineated what the administration things are in the document, and I've just delineated them verbally. This is administration is understood to be someone taking notes, writing up reports, and making sure they do the basic legwork that has to get done. This is not that.
But Ron, all of that stuff now, if you're applying that to council, that's done by staff.
And I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that. I am talking specifically to what's in the document. If we go back and review the document, you will see that we're talking about a number of different things, including outreach, including looking at horizon issues that are coming up. Let me go back. I just read it out loud, then, which is very clear. To the overall administration task of this SO should be simply defined as those that cut across the SO, that is, those that deserve coordination and shared planning, in order to expand the GNSO leadership while supporting the ability of policy councils to devote their skills and expertise to the critically important functions related to GNSO policy. Ideally, each constituency would designate two constituency representatives. Two reps as opposed to one address the time availability, spread the load, and allows participation in other ICANN fora.
I think it's vague, Ron. I think that's why we got back some of the comments we did of, is there enough administrative tasks?
Finish?
Yeah, but is there enough administrative tasks for this to be ongoing? I mean,
listen,
How is it possible that anybody can take that position in the GNSO when Tony has just said, you know, even though we have staff, there's still a burden of things to be done. And
but
my point is, I never finished what I was saying.
Okay, I'm sorry, go ahead. I did cut you off.
These responsibilities would include, but not be limited to, outreach, supporting a program planning function in support of ICANN face-to-face meetings, guidance on website enhancements of the GNSO web pages, general policies that cut across the SO, such as guidance on policies for ICANN support for travel reimbursement. So these are the kinds of things, analyzing trends, benchmarking policy implementation, outreach to expand the ranks of all current and future GNSO constituencies, travel reimbursement policy, program planning for more effective meetings, development of general operational and administrative policies.
Yeah, but my question was, and I'm not trying to be argumentative, but my question was, should we ask if those things could fall under staff?
And I am saying no.
I know you are. I know you
no.
are.
I'm
just
I do not
the
want
question.
Staff doing outreach. I do not want staff doing outreach. Listen, I already know of one of the senior officers of ICANN who wants to start contacting people that we work with. And I'm saying, for what purpose? Okay? My point is, it's not ICANN staff's job. ICANN staff's job is to support the community.
I'm asking the question, and I hear your opinion. I just
and
would
I'll,
like to
I'm
know
sorry,
if
I'll
if,
zip it for a while.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if Tony or Wolf have an opinion on that, that's all.
Well, some of the things that Ron stepped through in terms of administration, some of them currently are done by council. Some of them aren't done by council. And the question I have is whether they would be better done under another body. I've mentioned outreach and the way we've done outreach, and we've done it in conjunction with staff, where staff have been very helpful and pretty effective. In terms of travel policy, that's been done by subgroups within ICANN, within council. And
so councillors are deciding how councillors are going to spend money? I don't think that's right, Tony.
That wasn't the way it happened, Ron. Council set up a group that anyone could have participated in and did, a subgroup that looked at travel policy, and that was progressed with staff and put out for general comment. Now, there's an issue there where I think most of the heavy lifting on that issue has been done. And the way I see that working in the new environment is that council would say, okay, there's an issue to be addressed here, it's travel policy, we'll set up a working group. Under the new rules, anybody can join in to that working group and engage. So council won't be doing that work anyway. It would be done by a working group under the new arrangements. And why you need a new body to do that, to perform any role there, I question.
Even bigger than that, Tony, I don't mean to cut you off. It's like you said, Ron, but instead of us deciding, why don't we ask the question? See what others say, and we ask the question, do you think these duties are better placed under ICANN staff rather than creating this new council? Yes or no?
Well,
I know you're against the idea personally.
There's three models there, Ray,
yeah.
to interject. There's, could it be done by ICANN staff? Should it be done by a separate administrative body? Or should it fall under the new arrangements, under a specifically organized working group within the GNSO structure? So there's three options.
I think so. And I think that's, to my opinion, I think that's the correct way to ask the question. I don't know how others feel, but... If the end game is really to try to get 300 people talking to us through the constituencies, then you know, let's not frame the answer. Let's ask the question and see what the answer comes back to us. Any thoughts?
Sure.
I'm with you. I think we should ask the question for sure.
Yes. Yes, I agree fully. But, you know, we are just circulating here again and again. And really, we should put the question out to others. And for me, as you know, also the reaction of which we have got right now is also a kind of a mirror of that there is not enough information available. So I was asking very early the question of you know, just how can we, let me say, estimate the amount of administrative work. In you know in in qualitatively, you have put on the table some items which should be done and which are to be done by the GNSO administrative body. But, you know, it's also the question of the amount of that. So because if we cannot answer that question, it will come again and again back, because that is some point which could be openly discussed, and somebody estimates, okay, it's 10%, the other estimate is 30%, the other estimate, no, it's nothing, and so, and we have to face those questions again, otherwise we cannot get forward.
All right, so here's what I'm hearing, and as the chair, I'm hearing that we want to send this document out to the constituencies. I'm saying, okay. We want to say in this document that this is our implementation plan, as we have said it right up to now. We want to, you know, we're looking at these groups within the council, one to handle administrative, one to handle policy. This is what we're recommending. I'm okay with that. But then I want to also ask the questions in there, though, that are appropriate. Do you agree with this approach? Do you think that administrative tasks could fall and should be supported by ICANN staff, and start getting some yes and approach it that way, get some yes or no.
Just one tiny point on what you said, right?
Yeah.
It probably was something you didn't mean, but I don't think we should throw that document out saying we're recommending it. It, as Ron said many times, it's just a guide.
I think you should say this is an idea that's under consideration within the committee, and we'd like your guidance. And I think if you do research, if you've ever done research, if anyone's ever done research, you never ask an open-ended question. You ask a closed question that you can only get a response, yes or no. If you don't get an affirmative or a negative response, you've got nothing but a bunch of thoughts that everyone else has to now apply their own interpretation to what those thoughts are and whether or not that may or may not be so, and we're going to spin our wheels even more than we already are.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought, though, I believe that we were reaching out to the smaller group, really, for their thoughts and experience. If that was incorrect, then that's my fault. But I thought we were looking for, you know, because of who they were and their experience in the council over a number of years, we were looking for broader feedback. You know, all their comments, anything they wanted to help us with or advise us with or offer input to. I thought that was the goal. But now that we're looking to go to the constituency level, I perfectly agree with you that we need to have clear, concise questions. And I know we have questions in there now that we're asking, and I'm just saying that maybe we need to look at what those questions are again and maybe sharpen them up a little bit. Any problem with that?
No. Quite frankly, I would welcome others to participate in the drafting.
Of course, Ron, of course.
So if the questions aren't sharp enough, sharpen them up how you want, send it out. I really don't care. All I'm saying is it's important we have close answers, close questions, so we get an answer that's affirmative or negative, and then anything after that we can work with. But that's my point of view. Whatever you guys want to do in terms of the language, go ahead.
Okay, so we have no ability to have a meeting next week. Is that correct, teleconference?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
All right. How about the following week? Well, that's obviously our scheduled meeting is in 2 weeks. Is our plan to when do we want to send this document out to constituencies?
Yesterday.
Well, providing it goes out before Sydney, I don't mind.
Well, let's just think about that, Tony. I mean, that's 4 weeks from now. Do we really want to sit on this document for another 3 weeks? Why don't we get this out to constituencies with a very clear message that we would like them to get this to their members as soon as possible, and that when we ourselves have a meeting on whatever that day is in June in Sydney, and we would like their responses from the leadership of their organizations by that day.
I would have a problem with that, Ron, because I would like to discuss this in the constituency meeting. And I think the timetable doesn't facilitate that with our meeting. So the constituency day is Tuesday. So I would prefer it to be a week after the close of the Sydney meeting, something like that.
Send it out the week after the...
No. Just to get the responses back from constituencies so that they can actually spend some time with their people, with their members in Sydney, discussing it.
Okay.
I don't have any problem with that.
Hmm.
But I think it's important we get it out right now because there will be a lot of people who will not be coming to Sydney. And I think all his other members of the various constituencies should have a couple of weeks to review this.
I've no problem with that.
All right, well, I would like to have some time to review the questions and offer some suggestions, even if it's on list. So let's set a deadline to whenever anybody can.
This time next week.
All right, fine.
It's three questions. It's one question. It's one question we're asking. Because the other questions are, if affirmative, yes, if affirmative, you know, this, and if negative, that. It's one question. But if you want to ask other questions, please go ahead. But let's do it within the next 7 days.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm good with that. Is everybody else good with that? So you've got to have the. If anybody wants to have any comments on the questions, they have to be and do it online on email. We have until next Wednesday.
Comments on the questions or comments on the feedback?
Well, both. Why don't we submit both?
Yeah.
So it's comments on the feedback that we received from the elders, quote unquote. And comments on the question that should be asked to the constituencies with regard to this kite.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, and we're all agreed that by end of business day, next Wednesday, this document in its new form, slightly modified, whatever that may be, is going to go to the constituencies.
Well, I'm not sure those things tie together. If you're allowing 7 days for comment, then you probably need to... Either you or Julie is probably going to need a day, maybe, to decide whether the document itself needs any change or not.
Okay. Ron, you okay with that?
Fine.
Wolf?
Okay, yeah.
All right, I'm okay with that. All right, let's make that our plan of action. One other thing I'm going to do is send around a link to the current rules of procedure document.
Yeah.
You know, we gotta get focused on that. And one good thing is we've decided that, you know, both the SOI will collapse into it. This will eventually collapse into it. So, you know, we're making some progress on it. Now, the last request I have is now going to be on Julie to look at that rules of administrative document and recommend to us the areas that we need to vet further on, the areas that are more, can be updated, that are more... that we, you know, low-bearing fruit, if you will, that can easily be updated of this rules of procedures job. Can you do that, Julie?
Absolutely, and in fact, I'll try to get that out. I'll work with Rob on that and try to get that out before the next meeting so people have a chance to look at it and we can discuss it on the meeting.
Okay, so I think that's all I have for today. Anybody else have any other issues?
I'm unsure when our next call is now.
2 weeks from today.
2 weeks, okay.
Same time.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, if there's not any other business, let's stop the recording and adjourn.
Yeah.
Very good.
Okay.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks.
Bye.